like a plow.
All right. See, that just kind of tells us that we're recording. That's how we know to start talking about the appropriate things that we're here to talk about.
That's your big red light that says recording.
Exactly.
Now it makes sense. Now I get it.
So, we just went through week six.
Six.
That was a week. It's actually a pretty good week.
It's a lot of good matchups.
Yeah, a lot of good matchups. I'm not happy with the outcome of my matchup, but like, I'm not that mad at my team. I'm mad at my wide receivers, but I've been mad at my wide receivers for a month. So that's not new.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, I feel like it was like foreshadowing earlier when we were discussing how you beat me with a record-setting score, and then you were the highest scoring team this week and also beat me. It seems to be the trend, which makes me feel very comfortable in knowing that I am going to pants you in the playoffs to get to the championship game.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's an accurate statement. That's how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom, however, does what to me is the unexpected, because I admitted I had you pegged for a loss this week.
Especially after the Thursday night game. I knew it was going to be close. I was nervous to play Clyde last week. I was terrified to play Joe this week. McCaffrey was supposed to be back. The one saving grace I had is that Kamara was on bye. And then my receivers choked. That being Devontae Smith and Mike Evans. And I was just like, all right, this is it. This is the first loss. Going to Joe. Hopefully he doesn't make me look too bad. Then Christian McCaffrey got put on IR, and then Kareem Hunt got hurt during the game, and a few other things just kind of worked out for me, and it came down to last night's game, the Monday night game.
You know, that's the thing that I think I'm starting to wonder about the universe or our podcast's impact on the league, because we talked about last week how the injury bug had bitten Joe's players a whole bunch, but only after they left Joe's team. And now, as of this week, it took 6 weeks, but he's finally getting hit a little bit. You know, he loses Kareem Hunt for at least 3 games. My guess is probably a few more. Christian McCaffrey goes from "I'll be back in a week" to missing the next 3 games. Well, I guess now the next 2 games at least. It's interesting. It's interesting how that happened immediately after we talked about it. I'm not saying one of us has magic powers. I'm just saying.
I'm almost wondering, like, if he intentionally kept the like Kareem Hunt and McCaffrey knowing full well that these things were going to happen to throw us off his scent.
What do you mean?
Oh, he can tell the future, didn't you know?
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. That is the other option here, that Joe, in fact, is the one with magic powers, which makes more sense, really, given how the season has gone. Although you would have thought that he would have been able to beat you that if he knew that.
Again, maybe he's throwing us off. I am now realizing that this is a conversation that Clyde and I had during one of the games, that we think Joe can see the future, knowing that he gives up, gets rid of all these guys, and then they get hurt.
Yeah, no, Joe is Nostradamus. He can tell the future.
The other thing that I think needs highlighting is that Dan lost to Carlos.
In the best in-season bet I've seen by far. Like, that was just goddamn adorable. Watching those two bicker about who was going to win, knowing both their teams are god-awful.
And that the outcome resulted in new toys for whoever had the winningest pup.
Which, Diego? Diego won?
Diego won.
Oh, all the toys for Diego. Now, the question is, does he get double the toys, or was Ace Big going to have to split a toy?
That's a good question. I think Ace and Finn get like one of those tug of war toys, probably. And then because they're super smart dogs, use it to trap Dan and like trip him. And
I just assume that's what they do on a day-to-day basis.
It's not what they do on a day-to-day basis.
I personally hope that Dan sends Border Collie size toys to Carlos, whose Diego is really not Border Collie sized.
Look in my head, it's a toy cheeseburger that's the size of three Diegos.
That's a big fucking cheeseburger.
It's a toy, like it's a little plush thing. I've seen those, like the little plush cheeseburgers that they give out. Like, I want one that's about massive. And Diego's just like, it's a pillow, it's a toy. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna chew and hump and do all the things to it. I bet he's a humper. Diego looks like a humper.
I was waiting for the humping pillow comment.
I mean, he does kind of seem like a humper, just like his dad.
Where do you think he learned it?
I can also see him like just shrugging along to this right now, just being like, yeah.
You're not wrong. Moving on.
Speaking of moving on, Eddie won. He beat Caesar, who spent 2 days text screaming at me about not losing to Eddie and then promptly lost to Eddie. He texted me and he was like, I took my drugs. I'm ready to go. Everything's set. I can't lose to Eddie. Sunday night, he was like, I can't lose to Eddie. Here's what I need. I can't lose to Eddie. And then Monday, like halftime of the Monday game, I'm getting all caps text messages about losing to Eddie and freaking out. And then he texted me this morning and was like, I lost sleep over this.
I mean, if I had lost to Eddie, I would have also lost sleep over this. Wondering, am I bad at fantasy football? Am I just that bad?
Well, see, that'll happen when you lose to not a real team.
I don't know, as we were watching the first, was it second set of games? My favorite comment was from Carlos, where he brought up the fact that after this week, 8 out of 10 teams would be 50% 500 or lower. And my initial thought, knowing at this point that I was already going to win, was, do not put me down there with those plebs. Do not put me down there with Eddie. Don't put me down there with Eric. Do not, Carlos, compare my team to yours. How dare you? I was insulted.
I looked at the standings and what they were going to look like after he sent that. And what I thought was kind of the most interesting thing was that all of the 3-2 teams lost. All of them. Every single one lost. And then with the exception of Matt, all of the 1-win teams won. So, and I think this is important. So Matt, heading into his wedding day, is in last place.
But you know what that means. Who does he play this week? Because you know that team has got to be on a, like, alert.
He plays Eric, who crushed it. Oh, I'm sorry, he lost to Eric, who crushed Matt. This week, he plays Carlos.
Best wedding gift ever, Carlos. A win for Matt.
By the way, burying the lead a little bit on my part, Eric with like the bounce back win of the century. Like he had Cousins go off, which is hilarious to me because at one point Matt had Kirk Cousins and that didn't go super well. He had Mixon go off. He had, you know. Yeah, his players did things. So, like, he got over 200 points with a roster that really has no business getting over 200 points. I didn't even get over 200 points. You look at my roster, and it's like, this roster should get 200 points. And then it's like, no, never happening. One time this season, that's it. Then you look at Eric's, and it's like, nah, 150. Over 200, good for him. And Matt, I don't know, is that the lowest score this season, 143?
No, I feel like Carlos had one better.
Didn't we have a 130s one of these weeks?
Somebody got beat by 100 points once. I don't think it was Carlos.
We got a 158 in week 5. We got a 157 in week 4.
We got 119 in week 2, and that was Carlos.
There you go. 119. You got to, like, try to do that, I feel like.
pretty sure we could try to ask Carlos how that happened, but I'm 100% sure he was blacked out for that entire thing.
Most definitely.
So I got sidetracked. I feel like we should talk more about how Caesar lost to Eddie, especially because I still haven't gotten a punishment video, and I now know that he is listening.
I mean, what do you enjoy more about that, Mike? That Eddie won, or that Caesar lost to Eddie?
You know, here's the thing. I like that Eddie won, because if you recall, I don't know which, I think it was our third episode where we reviewed the draft. I picked Eddie's team as like the team that I liked after the draft, and now his team is finally behaving the way that I thought it would. However, Caesar's team has been quite good. Quite good.
I mean,
if I
can take it aside from that, we also all loved Matt's team at the beginning of this year.
We did.
We were real mad at that team.
We were so wrong.
What else happened in week 6? Clyde is working on a trade. Like, this is Clyde's trade face. I know this face. You are actively working right now.
You know what I said? I've been trying to figure out 2 trades for the past week and a half. Because I know they're there. I know I'm going to hate myself on either one of them. Like, I'm going to wake up and it's going to be one of those, oh, what did I do last night?
I mean, you and I started talking about trades this morning, which is how I know the season has reached some sort of critical mass. Because when you and I start talking about a trade, that's when things need to be looked at and reconsidered.
That's because every time we try to trade, we end up hating each other.
Yeah, because one of us loses horribly. It's usually like a good, solid trade, but then somebody either gets injured or just starts sucking. I remember it was like 5 years ago and I needed a quarterback because I usually almost always need a quarterback. I got Matthew Stafford from you, who was a top 5 quarterback that year to that point, and then fell off a goddamn cliff. And I'm pretty sure I lost because of it.
I can think of multiple years where we were at each other's throats over trades for no reason. Like, they weren't good trades, but they weren't bad trades, but we both looked at them like they were like a horrific, like, you're going to, this is such a bad trade for my.
Well, see, here's the thing. I think that when you offer me a trade or when I offer you a trade, doesn't matter which way, but the receiving person looks at that trade and goes, you're trying to hurt me. What are you trying to do to me? What's your game? What? I don't understand. What do you know? And it's immediate suspicion.
That is exactly what happened this morning. You offered me the running back and I went, what do you know that I don't? I immediately looked some shit up. I was like, is he okay? Did he lose a leg? Is he going on IR? Is he about to be traded? But, like, every time we do a trade, it's the exact same thing. Either one of us is like, all right, I don't trust it. I don't dislike it. I just don't trust it.
Fair. I feel like that's how most people react when they get a trade offer from me. It's like, all right, no, fuck off. Like, I got a text. I've been working on some form of a trade with Eddie for, I don't know, the entire season to this point, and just not matching up on things. And it finally came down to, and this cracked me up, Eddie, I'm going to call you out. Eddie said, you keep going after my top guys. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how it works. I don't want your trash heap. Like, I don't want the guys you don't want. I want the guys you want. But why am I trading for people that you don't want? I don't want the people you want to trade. It's the whole Django Unchained thing all over again. But Eddie told me he likes his team, and he's not going to make a move right now. So take Eddie off of your trade partner list, guys.
I'm going to immediately offer him a trade to see what happens.
That's why I'm bringing it up. I want everyone to spam him with trades.
I'm gonna look right now and see. Just see. How ridiculous can I make it?
Oh, he's going to be so mad.
Oop, that's not the right app.
Mike, you have to.
He's so. Eddie was so nice.
Can we all go for the same player too, just to like really fuck with him?
The best part is that he will not understand what's happening until he listens to this like 3 days from now.
And
like,
and by that time, hopefully
he'll be like, son of a bitch.
Well, here's the thing. Eddie was so polite, and I it was the nicest fuck off text message I've ever gotten. Cause it was clearly just like, stop asking me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Go fuck yourself. It's just fine. I got a trade in the pipeline right now. I'm very excited about it.
Not with Eddie, I assume.
Not with Eddie. Gotta wait on it a little bit. Hopefully nobody gets injured, but we'll see what happens. So that is foreshadowing. And I'm trying to get one with Clyde. And I'm working on one with Dan. I think Tom is in the Eddie camp and refuses to trade with me. I messaged Joe and haven't heard from him in like 10 hours. So I'm assuming that's a no. Who else? I already traded with Eric. Haven't asked Carlos yet. Carlos, again, I think would be in the fuck you camp when it comes to trading with me.
I think Carlos would see you like typing something and immediately throw it out the window.
No, just no. Whatever it is, no. Fuck off. And Caesar also, I guess, technically more politely than Eddie told me to fuck off because he just stopped answering any of my texts that have to do with the trade. He will have a conversation with me, but will not address anything having to do with trade. Oh, I take that back, actually. We had a little bit of a conversation today about a player. But it has to be a player he wants to trade. And there are a few players that he wants to trade. So, guys, talk to Caesar. He's got a few folks for you.
Tell you, man, I feel like my team's close. I think
I feel the same way about my team, and then they just go like, nah. I think I'm close to the point this season where I'm just gonna make trades for the sake of having different players on my team. That's kind of the point that I'm reaching. It's like, all right, I'm sick of this handful of people and I don't want to see them anymore. Plus, I have a few players for you, Clyde, that I know are on teams that you hate, and on theme, we have to get them on your team.
This is true. This is true. Just trade me all of the AFC West except for Chargers. And
yeah.
Giants.
You're
going to try and give me Tony, aren't you?
No, I'm keeping Tony. I'm keeping him. So we should move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about how everybody's team sucks, starting with Carlos and Matt. Well, I don't really need to talk about Matt's team sucking because his team sucks enough for everybody.
Usually you just go off on Matt for 17 minutes and then we come in and start talking about something else.
By the time he listens to this, he's not listening.
I mean,
I could say,
I don't think he's listened to the last one because I feel like I would have. Yeah.
I could say whatever I want. He's not going to know for like 3 weeks. And by that point, he'll forget that this is even a thing. So the idea is to go back and listen to it. If you wanted to take a cheap shot at Matt this week, is the week to do it.
I think every week is the week to take a cheap shot at Matt.
I did so many of those in the first couple of weeks. I think I'm all matted out. Plus, as I said after week one, his team's not good enough to have as a rival. How much more shit talking can I do about his team?
Well, luckily Carlos is taking up that cause and changed his team name.
I saw that. I'm enjoying Carlos's just fuck you tour through the league. It's very
cool. Well, I enjoy that Matt changed his team name to McLick My Dick Daniel, which is just a great team name. But he played Daniel like 2 weeks ago. He played Eric this week. So it's kind of a weird team name, man.
Maybe he really wants to stick it to Dan.
Don't we all?
I mean, have you seen that face? That smile? Those eyes? That almost beard?
Almost beard? Oh, shit.
I mean.
So, we like to highlight the moments where Dan is going to scream at his radio, and I think this is going to be the loudest one yet. I think we might hear it when he listens.
I will be getting phone calls immediately. It's one of those where he stops the car, pulls over, goes, pulls out his phone to scream fuck you, and then hangs up and drives off. I'll be honest, if I get one of those, I will count it as a win, a success, and we'll have a party.
I mean, I'm expecting a team name change for somebody out of this conversation. I don't know who yet. Who are you playing?
I'm playing Eric, who lost half his team to bye weeks. So it's kind of like having a bye week myself.
God. Well, he'll replace Kirk Cousins with, yikes.
Like I said, this team is not this week, or in general, but mostly this week.
I mean, Antonio Gibson might sit, so J.D. McKissick might be shoved down your throat. He's getting Calvin Ridley back.
Yeah, what was up with that? Like, what the hell was the Does Ridley have, like, a warrant in London? Is that what happened? Like, they were going to London, and he was like, Coach, I didn't think I was going to have to bring it up. You knew about the schedule, like, 2 months ago.
Yeah, I kind of thought the situation would be resolved by then.
I kind of thought we'd just all forget about it, not go to London and stay here.
Personally, I thought COVID it worse, and we'd have to not go. But I think now is as good a time as any to tell you, if I go to London, Interpol is going to arrest the shit out of me.
Currently on their most wanted. I'm not sure how they have it figured out. I'm an NFL player, but they don't know yet.
So... they think my name is Ralvin Kidley? It's weird.
The whole thing, but if you plaster my face on there, I'm never getting out of jail. Which begs the question, what did Calvin Ridley do? Did he insult the queen? He insulted. On accident.
He probably stole fish and chips from the queen.
No, but yeah, he does get Ridley back. He doesn't have any quarterback whatsoever. His running back situation is not great. Does it help that his team is all on IR? But yeah, there's that in a nutshell. Who are you playing this week, Mike?
So I am playing Eddie this week, who's at least a version of Eddie's team. It may be markedly different by the time I get to him, apparently. But he also hasn't set his lineup for bye weeks yet. So he's got two roster spots empty, and it's only a 14-point separation right now. I'm hit pretty hard by byes this week, so it's going to be an interesting matchup.
Welcome to the bi-apocalypse.
Yep. Well, it's not only that. It's like I'm hit hard by buys, and also the players I do have are in bad situations. Like Tyler Lockett's still playing, but he has Geno Smith throwing to him. I would bench him, but it's a bye week for everybody. So Keenan Allen, I'm losing. Zeke, I'm losing. It's not good. Granted, Keenan Allen has done all of nothing for me, so it doesn't really matter. I am not confident given how my team has performed as of late, so I'll probably take another L here. That would be my expectation. Normally, I'd like to be overly confident and egotistical, but just not feeling it today.
You know, that kind of answers the question I was thinking earlier, Mike. You know, I think it was week three when I asked you, you had a 1-2 start, and I asked how you were feeling, and you're like, fine.
Now that I still feel fine. Like, I'm in fourth place. I still am pretty positive I'm making the playoffs. It's not going to be with a great record like I normally have, but I'll be in the playoffs. I'm fairly confident in that. If we still had, you know, like years ago, we did 4-team playoffs, I'd be nervous. But because we do 16 playoffs, I think I'm better than four other teams.
Am I in third? How did I get to third? I was in sixth.
Because you beat me.
Yeah.
Most points
great.
For
you beat me, and I only dropped one spot, which is great. I'm completely fine.
Tom, who are you playing? And what doom and destruction are you bringing to their doorstep?
I am scheduled to play, I believe, Cesar. The whole
play like Eric and lose by 50 points, and for us all to sit here for an hour and go, how?
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm just waiting for that to happen myself. And it could be Cesar this week. Who knows? I mean, currently, his roster is mostly set. He's, you know, got a DB person not in yet, but so do I. He also has Khalil Herbert still starting, and I don't think he, at least Sleeper does not think he will be the starter this week. I don't know, man. He is wrecked by Apocalypse. Like, he's got so many guys on bye this week, it looks like. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just going to keep doing my thing and see what happens. I don't think I will survive the next few bye weeks undefeated.
All right, so we're in like week 6 now. Who's making the playoffs? Who's in the playoffs? I mean, clearly the three of us are in the playoffs. And Joe is there with us as well as our, like, I don't know, fourth guy. What do you want to call him? Token Joe. He's our Token Joe in the playoffs, right? How many other spots we got left? 2?
Correct. Which currently belong to the Medina brothers.
After an entire season of watching Carlos, like, be angry to the point of physicality, I just want to see him fall one place short of making the playoffs.
I don't think you're going to get that wish.
I don't see, again, to Carlos's point, it's an extremely competitive year. Matt's out. Matt's done. But everybody else is fair game.
I'm worried about saying this, but Michael Thomas is now eligible to come back, which, reminder,
yeah, but have you read?
I have not read anything on the situation. I don't know if he's supposed to be coming back or not. I mean, I hope he's not, because, you know, Matt and I have that bet, but
no, you're, which I believe there's an update on, and that update is that you won, Tom.
Is Michael Thomas ruled out for week 7?
He's not ruled out officially, but he's not going to be back for at least another 2 weeks. At least.
Why do you say that?
Because that's what the team said.
Ah, well, if the team has said that, then yes, I won the bet. If Michael Thomas does not start week 7, I win the bet. Matt, I will give you a week. I will give you 3 weeks leeway, because you're getting married and I assume going straight on a honeymoon.
That is correct.
Then I want my 6-pack.
Oh, and then it's his birthday. I think he gets no back pass. And it's his birthday.
No pass for his birthday.
Matt, for your birthday, you get to give Tom the beer.
I like this.
Like, I have it in my mind that he's just going to drive by the house. He's not going to stop. He's just going to drive by and chuck a 6-pack at our door. It'll hit somebody's car, but he won't stop.
No, I think he'll stop. He'll get out and he'll, you know, separate each can and wing it through your window, can by can. That's what I think would happen.
I really hope not, because I don't want to make him pay for new windows on top of the beer he's going to have to pay for.
This is
one of the
times where I have to say this is a disservice of living with me. It, just because you're living with me, he'll look at this as a double bonus of pissing off both you and me.
Well, Tom, I think you actually might want this to happen, because there's a pretty good shot that while Matt is winging beer cans through your window, one of them might hit Clyde in the head.
I mean, I don't necessarily want that to happen. I might laugh at it if it does happen, but I don't want it to happen.
You don't want it to happen, but if it happened, you're not going to be that mad at it. So, who has easy access to the Week 7 matchups?
I have it right in front of me. They are as follows. Carlos 30. And Matt.
Pause. Tom, who wins that matchup?
Carlos and Matt? Carlos, easy, done.
Great. Clyde, go.
Mike and Eddie.
Mike.
Clyde. Oh. I was going to ask Clyde, but you know what? No. I like Tom's answer. We're going to go with Tom's answer. Mike wins. Moving on.
Tom and Caesar.
Tom.
I'm also going to go Tom.
I'm going to go Caesar.
Here's the thing, though. if Caesar wins, I will knock one bite of kimchi off of his accruing interest.
I don't approve of this bet.
If Tom wins, I will add two bites of kimchi.
I approve of this bet.
All right.
Clyde versus Eric.
Sorry, Eric.
Yeah.
And finally, Dan versus Joe.
Sorry, Joe.
I'm going to go Joe because I know that James Robinson is on a bye.
Yes, but he just got chubbed.
I understand. Who is out? Who is out this week?
Wait, who is Dan going to start at running back?
Exactly. Clyde and Tom, what are your favorite pies?
Oh, you know this. You know this.
Is it just pie? Is your answer just pie?
It is the key lime pie. Okay. More specifically, binging with Babish's key lime pie.
It's a good pie.
It is a really, really good pie.
It is the Rustic Inn in Two Harbors, Minnesota, five-layer chocolate.
Five-layer chocolate pie. I have questions. How do you layer a pie?
It's a cream pie, so it's not baked. It's not really baked.
See, y'all think I wanted to know about pie. And frankly, I'm hungry, so it's not untrue. But my next question is, who is Tom, the five-layer chocolate pie of your team?
Ooh, good question. I like this question. Five-layer chocolate pie of my team. I'm torn between my two running backs, Jonathan Taylor, and, hold your breath, Devontae Swift. And by Devontae, I mean DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift, who you close to refuse to draft.
Correct. And had I drafted him any earlier than I did, he would absolutely not be the five-layer chocolate pie. And it would just handedly go to Jonathan Taylor. But if you look at how the two of them are performing in comparison to each other and where I drafted them, it makes it a real tough call. I think I have to go DeAndre Swift.
All right. DeAndre Swift is the five-layer chocolate pie of Tom's team. Clyde.
Yes.
I know that you think I'm about to ask you the same question, but I'm not. The question is for you. Boom, twist it again. Who is the Babish key lime pie of your week 7 opponent's team?
Of my week 7? Oh. Looking at his team, I think the Babish key lime pie of Eric's football team is one Mark Andrews.
Oh.
Mm. I like that.
Mr. Manders.
I have to eat a little crow here. As I said that Lamar Jackson is not a quarterback, and he has time and again proven me wrong this season. And it's been a very steady, healthy diet of some Andrews.
My next question is for Tom. And Tom, what is your favorite fast food sandwich?
Oh, man. Too many good options. I like fast food way too much. I'm probably going to go with the spicy chicken filet sandwich from Wendy's.
Who is, Tom, the spicy chicken sandwich, the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich of Matt's last place team?
Oh, boy. The only reason it's not Justin Herbert is the abysmal showing he had last week. And the award is going to go to Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin? Why?
Because he is the only player on the team that I would want that is not Herbert, but I don't need Herbert, so I would take Chris Godwin.
Okay, so by default, Chris Godwin is the choice here. Clyde.
Can I debate that one?
Ooh.
Ooh, yes, please.
I've got a controversial one that you're not going to agree with, but I think it's a pretty strong one. TJ Watt.
See, I thought I was looking at his IDPs, and I was like, you know, TJ Watt, excellent player.
Has been pretty solid. He's had one off week.
Clyde.
Yes.
Tell me about the best taco that you ever had.
Oh, that's hard. That's tough. That's really bad. I've had way too many tacos in my life. But the best taco I can think of that I've ever had. Lily's Taco. Their pork taco. What do you call it?
Al Pastor?
Yeah, there you go. The Al Pastor tacos that I got from Lily's Tacos in Santa Barbara, California. Were the best tacos I've had.
Okay. Now, I think we would all agree here that most tacos are good tacos. Some tacos are better than other tacos, but there's always that like one taco place or that handful of taco places that are just like those are the tacos. Like when you think tacos, you're like, oh yeah.
Oh, Mike, those, if you're in Chicago, I can tell you exactly, that is Taco Burrito Express at 2 a.m. after a full night of drinking.
So I have two questions for you then. Who is the Lily's Santa Barbara El Pastor Taco? And who is the I'm fucking hammered and can't see my feet 2 a.m. taco? From Chicago's own Taco Burrito Express, of Joe's wide selection of tacos.
Oh, good lord, that is a debate and a half. Jesus. Let's take a look at Joe's team. Well, I think we know one of these answers. And I'm gonna go with my. It's 2 a.m. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Give me some tacos, Taco Burrito Express. Has to be Cooper Kupp. Has to be. It's, I don't even know where I am right now, but I can guarantee you that's going to get me 30 points.
It's reliable. You can count on it. It's greasy. It's not necessarily exciting. It doesn't really make any sense why you're here right now, but I'm going to put this in my mouth, Cooper Kupp.
No, that's not to say that, you know, every once in a while I'm not going to switch it up for the Alvin Kamara, but it's 2 a.m. I'm drunk. I need steady production here. It's Cooper Kupp.
And see, now you're sober. You're in California. You're going to Lily's. You're getting an El Pastor taco. It's the best taco that you've ever had. Who is that taco?
So here's the thing. Lily's, it's a little unexpected because you can get some weird stuff. You ever had tongue taco? You can get it there. Ever had eyeball taco? You got it. And with that in mind, my Lily's Taco pick of the week is going to be one Cordell Patterson. Because holy fuck, what the hell? What is happening? And why is it good?
So is he the tongue or the eyeball?
He's definitely the eyeball. Who the hell looked at an eyeball and went, I want to put that on the taco?
Well, see, the question was, who is the El Pastor?
Oh, who's the El Pastor? It's specifically who's the El Pastor?
Well, that was your identified taco.
Fair. That's a fair thing. That's a fair thing.
I agree that Cordero Patterson is the eyeball or the tongue or both at the same time. The eyeball tongue taco. Because you look at it, you taste it, you're like, it looks weird. It doesn't taste right, but it's delicious.
Yeah. How is this? What is happening in my mouth and why? But I mean, to Tom's point, I think my go-to favorite taco, gonna be the Alvin Kamara. I love it. I love it. Even when I have a bad one, it's still a good one.
So next question. I talked a lot about Eddie's team. We talked a lot about trading with Eddie today, I think, maybe, depending on how much of that makes it into the episode.
I mean, two of the three of us made trade proposals to Eddie.
That's very true. Well, like, technically we all did, you know.
Well, you were supposed to make another one.
Well, he's tired of hearing from me. The point is, we talked about Eddie at either an alarming or a high enough rate, depending on the edit for this episode. If we're talking Pop-Tarts, and we're talking Eddie, and Pop-Tarts.
Who are we talking, best Pop-Tart or worst Pop-Tart?
Oh, I'm going to give you some flavors.
Oh, let me pull up his roster.
Who is the brown sugar cinnamon of Eddie's team?
That's tough. I'm thinking Derrick Henry. Well, I'm thinking Derrick Henry as well. Clyde, why are you thinking Derrick Henry?
Because it's not sexy. It's not a sexy pick. Derrick Henry is not this is going to sound weird to say, he's not an unbelievably gifted athlete in that he makes all these weird cuts. He does these things we've never seen before. He is a fucking truck in the body of a human. He just beats you down. It's not sexy. It's not fun. I don't want to say it's not fun, but it's not one of these eye-popping things. But it's solid. It's super solid. You know what you're getting every time. It's going to hit you in the mouth, and you're going to be like, brown sugar, baby. Love it.
So generally speaking, I agree with you. That is pretty much the same reason why I chose Derrick Henry for this Pop-Tart, is it is reliable. You know what you're going to get, and it's going to do you good. However, I disagree with your opinion on the type of athlete that Derrick Henry is. Given solely the fact, yes, he doesn't do the great cuts. He is a like ground and pound, he's going to run over you athlete. But to me, what puts him above and beyond is the fact that he can do it for four fucking quarters nonstop. And to me, that makes him an outstanding athlete.
I don't really put too much credit into my he's not a great athlete. What I mean is, it's what he does when running in a straight line that astounds me. For four quarters, you are not going to drag him down.
The Bills learned that the hard way.
I mean, it would have been nice if the Bills had literally put a hand on him on a couple of those runs.
Mike, what's the next Pop-Tart?
Remember the Wildberry flavor?
Oh God, I love the Wildberry flavor.
Who is the Wildberry flavor of Eddie's team?
This is easy. This one is way too easy. Brandon Cooks.
I would ask you to show your work, but like, yeah.
I mean,
100%.
The Wildberry, it's weird. It's out there. When you want it, you want it. And when you don't, you don't. And I feel like that's the kind of player he is. Sometimes he's phenomenal and he shows up and you're super excited and happy. And other times, holy fuck, why are you eating this thing?
All right. So, classic cherry Pop-Tart.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. You know what you're getting. You know what's there. It'll always be the same. You may hate it. Some of you, it's one of those divisive ones that people will hate. They either love or hate. That's Aaron Rodgers in a nutshell. If you're a Bears fan, you fucking hate him. If you're a Packers fan, you fucking love him. If you're in the middle like me, yeah.
Even as a Bears fan, I don't think I can say I hate him.
I hate when he reminded you that he owns us.
I hate when he plays my team. And it's also hard to argue with the fact that he owns us because...
What's the thing? He's not wrong.
Like, right. Yeah. He's just... I love Aaron Rodgers. I said it.
How'd that make you feel?
Clyde, I need you to clip that. I need you to highlight it. I need you to put it in the sound bank. We're going to come back to that for the next 40 years. Last Eddie's team question. Nobody likes a toaster strudel. Not when Pop-Tarts are on the menu. Who is the toaster strudel of Eddie's team?
Speaking personally, but it's Amari Cooper.
God, Clyde, why are we so on the same page?
Because I fucking hate Amari Cooper so much.
See, I don't hate him. I don't love him. I didn't draft him for a reason. But I feel like, you know, same with the toaster strudel. To me, the biggest issue with toaster strudel is it's impossible to cook them right every time. Sometimes they're under, sometimes they're over. Occasionally they're perfect. And that's how I feel Amari Cooper is.
All right. These are good answers. Now, we all went to grade school. We all have degrees. So that's how I know that. Do you remember that ridiculous game, either in high school or grade school, that I'm sure at least at one point was played, but Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We all remember Fuck, Marry, Kill? Okay, good. Yeah. Good. So teams in the league. Fuck, Marry, Kill. Dan, Caesar, Carlos. Go.
Oh.
Carlos, Dan, Caesar.
So you're fucking Dan, Dan's team. Why are you fucking Dan's team?
Fucking Carlos.
So you're fucking all three of them?
No, it's Carlos gets fucked, Dan gets married, and Cesar gets killed off.
Show your work.
I feel like I like Dan's team. I liked it more before his trade. Be honest. Because I liked a lot of the players on there.
Carlos, so you just want to marry Justin Herbert. That's what I'm getting at. Okay.
Got a thing for Justin, and I got a thing for Eckler.
So hold on. I'm confused. Because you want to marry Dan's team, but he got rid of Justin Herbert. So technically, he's divorced Justin Herbert, but you still want to marry Dan's team. Why?
I still like his team.
Oh, because he got Austin Eckler. That's why. Okay. So you just want to – you're so disgusted by your own team that you want to marry anything that has a Chargers player on it. Okay. So you're marrying Dan's team to get access to Austin Eckler.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's all this is.
Okay, so you're fucking
going in the door. Like, I'm here for you. Really.
This is got it. So it's an arranged type of situation. Like it's we're not doing this for love.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a contract.
There's a so prenup and everything.
So you marry Dan's team for access to Austin Eckler, knowing that on the side. You're fucking Carlos's team. Why is Carlos your mistress?
Carlos's team, not a back of my theories here.
I at least did my research before giving my answer.
Because I like a lot of his players. Like I'm in on Dan's team because I want Eckler. And I'm going pre-trade, so I had Eckler and Herbie. But, I mean, who doesn't...
You act like I asked this question in a production meeting at some point, and that there was a planned answer prior to that trade. That's not the case. The trade went through. So what excited you about Carlos's team?
Looking at Carlos's team, nothing. I could do so much better. Where's Caesar's team? Is Caesar's team any better?
Well, you're going to kill Caesar's team, so.
Oh, fuck. I changed my answer.
I'm still okay. Game,
but I'm killing off Carlos because his team is awful.
Okay, so we've switched the Medina brother that you're fucking.
Yes.
So we're fucking Caesar. So you're cheating on Dan with Caesar, but you thought it was Carlos. Why did you confuse the two?
Oh, look at his team. He's got Brady, who doesn't want to be with the GOAT. He's got Dalvin Cook and Najee Harris and Hopkins. Come on. Come on, son. Hopkins. And look at that kicker. He's got Justin Tucker. Who doesn't love Justin Tucker?
So you are, after giving Carlos the level of false hope that you gave him,
You
could have some sort of, in spite of the fact that you're married to Dan, that you could have had some sort of relationship, you decided to murder him.
Yeah.
Why? Why are you murdering Carlos today?
Oh, he's got nothing worth. Like, just look at the team, man. What, do you think I'm excited over Dak Prescott and a half, like, one-legged Antonio Gibson?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say it was Carlos when Carlos had Jamar Chase and David Montgomery. Is he sexier to you now, Clyde?
Jamar Chase and who's the other one? David Montgomery. He is, but not enough. I need more.
Still gonna kill him. Okay. Tom, fuck, marry, kill.
All right. I am gonna marry Carlos's team.
Oh, but Carlos is dead because Clyde killed him.
Well, I am gonna resurrect him, Frankenstein's monster style, you know, lightning and shit. Bring him back to life.
Sure, sure. So Carlos is now Frankenstein's bride.
Sure.
All right.
I think the youth that his team has can pay off in the long run. I am going to fuck Dan's team. I'm going to fuck Cesar's team, which is ridiculous to say because right now it's banging.
Oh.
Like that. And then I'm going to kill Dan's team because as much as I love Stafford and Eckler and Robinson, I just think it's all going to fizzle and die.
Ooh. Oh,
I'm sorry, Dan. I really am. Fired. I really wanted to like your team, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
What I appreciate the most here is that you've married and killed like each other's married and kills. I'm actually out of questions.
That's kind of good because I'm out of whiskey.
Bye.